what's best for you. Now, it's here, man, Tuesday. This is the Monday before Christmas. So if you're not in a Christmas spirit, you better get in a Christmas spirit. And I know for some of you to get in a Christmas spirit means becoming like Scrooge, right? And I get it. I get it. This should be the funnest, most celebratory, the most exciting time of the year for a Christian because we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, who was the God-man. He came to earth. This should be the most exciting time, but it's very easy to let the shadows of Christmas distract us from the substance of Christmas. And I know that. I mean, I love all the shadows. Don't get me wrong. Man, I love the Christmas music. I mean, man, I start playing Christmas music in early November because I'm going to get the most out of it I can. You only got a small amount of time, a window, and I'm going to get all of it I can. I put my Christmas tree up early in November, you know. I remember when everybody used to say, and I don't know about you, but maybe you still do, I'm not going to put my Christmas up after Thanksgiving. I'm like, man, that's a lot of work for a little time. I'm putting it up early and enjoying it, right? I love the music. I love the trees. I love the food too much. I love the gifts. I love getting them. I don't like buying them, but I do love getting them, right? I mean, we all like getting them, not buying them, but getting them. I mean, the movies. Man, it ain't Christmas without the Griswolds showing up. So I love all those things. I'm not one of these Christmas Grinch Scrooge pastors that come in and say, don't do these things. We got to focus. Listen, I love all those things. But the problem is those things do have a tendency to warp our reality if we're not careful. You know, for instance, they begin to make us believe that every kiss begins with K. In my house, it's every kiss begins with Kmart, pretty much, you know. And so we can easily get distracted. And so what we want to do is, man, we're glad you're here on Sunday to remind you of what Christmas is all about. But it's going to take more than an hour a week. It's going to take more than an hour a week to keep our focus. And so we ask you to do all these Advent. We give you all this Advent resources online so that you're not only coming to do an Advent series on Sunday, but throughout the week you can do Advent so that you can, you know, refocus and help you to focus on the Redeemer, not just on Rudolph, right? On God's presence with us in rather than God's or people's presence to us. And so we do that, and we hope you have participated in that. Advent is a Latin word, and it means the coming or arrival of an important event or person. And we as Christians, we live in a time in history between two Advents. The first Advent was 2,000 years ago when Jesus came as the suffering servant who would suffer and die for our sins. The second Advent that we look forward to, we look back to that Advent. The second Advent that we look forward to is the return of Jesus when he comes not as suffering servant, but as conquering king. And so we are glad that you're here today as we do War Cry. It's what we're calling this Advent series. And today we're going to focus on a war cry is a cry that needs to be heard today. It's a war cry for today. It needs to be heard today, it needs to be received today, and it needs to be shared today. And so let's look at these three points of the greatest cry ever, right? And so first, it's a cry, the greatest cry ever, and it needs to be heard today. This reminds me of a date in history that's very important, April the 18th. April 18th is very important. It's important in my family. It's My second son's birthday is on April the 18th, but it's not long before he was born. It was another important day. Some of you might remember, if you're good in American history, it was the 1775. You've got to go back over 200 years, and there was a man named Paul Revere. Many of you learned about Paul Revere. Many of you read the poem and quoted the poem of Paul Revere from in school. And Paul Revere, 1775, April 18th, he rode through town, this famous midnight ride, where he was screaming, "The British are coming, the British are coming, the British are coming." And you know what? It was a war cry. It was a cry that everybody needed to hear at that moment. He couldn't wait until tomorrow because by then it might be too late. He cried out, "The British are coming," because it was a time of chaos that was coming. It was a time of pain that was coming. It was a time of bloodshed. It was a war cry, and it was urgent. You know, here, what we're looking at today and what we just read from Kyle, as Kyle read to us, we read about another war cry. It was the cry from the angels that showed up on an incredible night and declared a war cry. They declared a war cry to a group of shepherds, and the war cry that they cried that night was also a cry of bloodshed. They were saying bloodshed is coming. but it was different than Revere's cry warning of bloodshed. Revere's cry of bloodshed would be a bloodshed that would cause pain and suffering and death and hopelessness, but the bloodshed that the angels were referring to was basically a bloodshed by Jesus that would bring hope and peace and healing and life. And so this is a story, this story of the shepherds that everyone is familiar with. All of us are familiar with the story of the shepherds. You've heard it. Even if people have never cracked open a Bible, you've heard the story of the shepherds because it's been famous in American culture, pop culture, since 1965. In 1965, that's when the Charlie Brown Christmas Show released this special where Charlie Brown wanted everyone to know the true meaning of Christmas. Can you believe it? It was all over the airways, Charlie Brown telling everybody the true meaning of Christmas. So Charlie, he puts on this show, this play, because he wanted everyone to know the true meaning of Christmas. And that's what the special's all about. And nothing was going right for Charlie Brown's play. Even his Christmas tree was the Charlie Brown Christmas tree, right? And so Charlie got frustrated and he exclaimed, he shouted out, "Does anybody know the real meaning of Christmas?" And at that point, Linus steps up and saves the day. He stepped up in Linus and quoted Luke 2, 8 through 20, scripture all over one of the most famous Christmas specials ever. That was in 1965, would never happen today, but that's exactly what happened. And Linus quoted it, and he didn't quote it as good as Kyle in his radio voice, you know. I mean, that was quite a voice, wasn't it? But Linus quoted, and we've seen this so many times. You've probably seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special that you might have missed what happened when he quoted verse 10. The part that says, "Fear not." He said, "Fear not." When he quoted verse 10 and he said, "Fear not," you remember what Linus did? He dropped his blanket. Now that was his security blanket. That was a symbol of when he read "Fear not," he dropped his security blanket. But then after he finished reading it, what did he do? He picks his blanket back up. That's what all of us tend to do, isn't it? All of us tend to have some kind of a security blanket that we go to, that we grab and hang on to. And here's what this Christmas story, this announcement to the shepherds, reveals to us today. It reveals to us that, man, we don't have to live in fear. We can have hope. We can have joy. We can have peace. We can have love. Why? Because to us this day, a Savior has been born in the city of David, Bethlehem. Emmanuel, God with us. And when the angels showed up to announce this war cry, man, they came to announce it, and they announced it. The group that they announced it to is very important. They didn't announce this to, you would have thought they would have went to Caesar. You would have thought they would have went to, you know, political leaders. Man, at least the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they're the ones who would need to know this, right? I mean, you would have thought they would have went to the superstars, the society, the mighty, the powerful, the rich, the famous. No. They went to the shepherds. They went out to the shepherds. Now, shepherds were not very respected, to say the least, in the day. They were looked down upon, actually. And so they go to the shepherds, and it was a night like any other night for the shepherds. I mean, they're watching their sheep. They're out there letting sheep do what the sheep do. And it was just a normal night until it wasn't. Until all of a sudden, bam, an angel appeared and scared them senseless. Now, when you read that, you got to stop and think, why would they be scared of an angel? Because you see, in our culture today, we have the wrong view of an angel. We have the wrong idea of what an angel looks like. You see, we're used to the Valentine angel. We're used to the Cupid angel. We think angels as, you know, chubby dudes wearing diapers or togas with toy bows and arrows, right? That's not an angel in Scripture. An angel in Scripture is a warrior. That's why every time you see an angel, people are trembling. They're quaking in their sandals. I mean, when people see angels, they fall on their face. They're afraid. They're about to die. That's what the angel said, or the shepherds were afraid, man, we're going to die. But the angel said, no. I don't bring news of judgment. I bring news of joy. I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to reveal to you life. And the angels preached really the first gospel in the New Testament when they said to you today, a Savior has been born. Now, they said this to the shepherds. I bet you when Prince William and Princess Kate's children were born, I bet they didn't send out an announcement to the carnies and the gypsies all over London. You know, I bet that's not who they announced it to. I bet they put on gold leaf announcements. They sent it to heads of state, and dignitaries, and all the rich and famous people. They sent it to the important people, right? I think that's the point of what God is doing by sending this to the shepherds. He's saying this is a message that needs to be heard today, and it's a message for all people. It's not just for important people. It's not just for intelligent people. It's not just for powerful people. It's not just for sanitized people. It's for all people. It needs to be heard today. Maybe you're here and you've never given your life to Jesus. This is a message that needs to be heard today by you. Maybe you are a believer, and the gospel, you need to understand, is not just for lost people. It is for all people. It is for believers to be reminded of how we are saved and made right with God. It's a message that needs to be heard today. That's what that war cry was. But it's also a war cry that needs to be received today. It's the greatest cry that needs to be received, and it's a cry that needs to be received today. Look at Luke chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Again, Kyle, you intimidate me. I don't even want to read this, my Appalachian voice, but I'm going to do it anyway. Verses 15 and 16 says, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. Isn't that a great verse? I mean, man, the angels do exactly what we do most of the time. The angels, man, they had this, not just an epiphany, man, this appearance of angels literally spoke into their life, and they did exactly what we do. They said, oh, that was cool. Let's sleep on it, and we'll handle it tomorrow. That's what they did. They said, oh, man, that's cool. Let's vote on what we need. What do we need to do about this? That's what, no, they didn't do that. They didn't think about it. What did it say they did? They got the message. It was because it was a message that needed to be heard today. And what did they do? They responded immediately. It was a message. It was a cry that needed to be received today. And they'd received and believed. And it says they jetted with haste to go find Jesus. They jetted with haste. And when they get there, they find Jesus, Mary, Joseph, Jesus in the stable, which was probably a cave. Jesus probably laying in a rock-hewn manger, which was an animal feeding trough. You know, it wasn't this sanitary, incredible thing that sometimes we have in our mind. They find Jesus, and they find Mary, and they find Joseph, and man, they received. It's a message that needs to be received today. Now think about the shepherds. Man, they spend hours and hours and hours out in the fields watching over their sheep. They spent night after night after night. They have a lot of time to think. They have a lot of time to contemplate. They have a lot of time to, you know, just ponder life. And they probably were out in the fields, and there were probably many times where they said, man, what am I doing? I have a dead-end job. I mean, man, my life is pretty insignificant. I just don't know what I'm doing. You ever felt that way? I mean, you ever felt like you're insignificant? I mean, man, we live in a world where we focus on, it's a celebrity-driven world, isn't it? I mean, everything's celebrities, and you look at people, and you're always fixated. We seem to be always fixated on celebrities, and man, we're watching royal weddings and with all the rich and famous there, and sometimes you can look at all these people with hundreds of thousands of YouTube followers, or not YouTube, but yeah, I mean YouTube, but also Instagram followers, and I mean, man, we forget that they bought them, right? And so we focus on all this, and we can begin to feel like, man, we're nothing in this world. Look at all that, and we don't have those followers. We don't have that amount of money. We don't have that amount of power. We don't have that influence. Nobody knows. Everybody knows them. Nobody knows us. We can begin to feel really, really insignificant. We can begin to feel like our lives don't really matter. The shepherds probably felt like, man, I'm at a dead-end job. My life's insignificant. They probably felt like they were unworthy. I'm sure they did, because the religious leaders made them feel unworthy. They continued to make them feel like they were inferior. They were not respected. They couldn't even testify in court. They were made to feel unworthy. Maybe you feel that way. Maybe someone always told you you're never going to amount to anything, and you grew up believing that. Maybe, man, it's something in your past, because we all have a past, but some people, they tend to hang on to their past. Even Christians that have been forgiven and redeemed from their past, we have a tendency to go back and hang on and look and say, look at what I've done. And the enemy uses that to say, God can't use you. I mean, you're not worthy. I mean, we look at everybody around us, and maybe you begin to, you know, compare yourself to other people. See, that's what we do, and we compare ourselves to other people. And when we compare ourselves to other people, we think, man, look at this person. Look at that guy over there sitting in that section. Look at that lady sitting in that section. That man, look at their family. I mean, they've got it all together. I mean, they even smell like Christmas. And I about beat my kids this morning, right? I mean, you feel like, man, I'm just not significant. I'm just not worthy. We compare ourselves to other people. Don't you know that the shepherds compared themselves to religious leaders and said, man, they're good, we're not. That's what we do in our world, isn't it? We have a tendency to compare ourselves to everyone else, and we get our feelings of self-esteem and we get our feelings of value and worth by comparing ourselves to other people. And that's ridiculous. If you think about it, you're always going to find someone who's a lot better than you. It doesn't matter how good, you're always gonna find people that are a lot worse than you. So that's it is a roller coaster ride when you do that. And the Bible says, really, there's only one person we should compare ourselves to, and that's Jesus, not anyone else. And what was Jesus? He was perfect. So let's get this out of the way. None of us are worthy, okay? None of us are worthy when it comes down to it. The person that you're looking at that you think is a whole lot better than you or superior because they're better than you or they do things better than you or whatever, you think, man, that guy, everything I ask that guy, he's got a memory verse for. He's got so many memory verses, I can't even remember my phone number, right? He's got all these memory verses, or you think, man, you know, I mean, he knows the answer to every question. I don't even know the questions. And we compare ourselves, and here's the thing. The only person we compare ourselves to is Jesus, and he's perfect. So that's bad news because we cannot be perfect. The requirement to be right with God is not good. It's not better. It's perfection. That's not good for me because I'm not perfect. Here's the great thing. That's what the war cry was all about. That's what that bloodshed was all about because Jesus came as that baby, but he was also God, and he lived a perfect life that I couldn't live, that I've not lived. But he died as a perfect man. He died, and because he was perfect, his death paid the price for the sin that my death couldn't pay. He lived the life I couldn't live, died the death I couldn't live to pay for the sin I couldn't pay for, come out of the grave, and then when I believe in him, here's the amazing thing of the gospel. When I believe in him, here's what Jesus does. He takes my sin, I still commit sins. He takes my sin and he credits righteousness to my account. He exchanges that. And so now I'm not perfect in what I do, but I am perfect in my standing before God. It's not based on what I do. It's based on what Jesus did. See, that's what we need to understand. That's the hope of this message. That's the hope of this message. That ought to help your self-esteem, your value, your worth in an incredible way today because you don't need to look at other people and say, oh, they're so good. Because I promise you, they got issues too, okay? They got issues. Might be different issues than what you got, but they got issues. And so this is the beauty, and this is why this cry gives us so much hope. Because being right with God is not about your performance, it's not about your education, it's not about your status or your skill, it's about grace. It's not what you do, it's about what Jesus did on the cross. And like the shepherds, it's a cry that deserves to be heard today and also received today. Some of you today need to receive that message. You've never given your life to Jesus. Today you need to receive that message. It's also a message that needs to be shared today. It's a message that really needs to be shared today. Look at verses 17 and 18. They say this, and they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. Wow, this is a great example of exactly what we are about here at LifePoint. You know, our motto is find life, live sin. Find life, live sin. John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And so we're here to help people find life. That's why we're called LifePoint. We want to point people to life, point people to Jesus. So we want to help people find life in Christ. It's the only place you'll find life. But then when you find life in Christ, that doesn't mean, man, salvation, it terminates there. It's not just God saved me, that's great, that's the end of the, no. We find life in Christ, then we live sent in the world, right? Jesus said, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. In Romans, Paul said, you know, how are they gonna receive the gospel if they don't hear the gospel? How are they gonna hear it if no one preaches? And how is someone gonna preach if they're not sent? So we are a sending church. We want to help people find life in Christ and live sent in the world. When you see find life and live sent, that's what it's all about. That's exactly what the shepherds show us. This is a beautiful example of the shepherds. And when they saw Jesus for who he was when God opened their eyes and they saw, they heard the message today. They received the message today. And when they saw that, they had to go out and share it today. That, just like going, they didn't, you know, when they heard the message from the angels, they didn't ponder, what should we do? They went. Well, when they saw Jesus and believed in Jesus, they didn't wait and say, well, I need to tell people about Jesus. But you know what? I don't know enough verses. I don't know enough theology. I don't know the answers to everybody's questions they're going to ask. We want you to know verses. You should know verses. You should memorize verses. You should read scripture. We want you to learn answers as you go through life. It's called sanctification. Part of sanctification is biblical literacy and biblical knowledge. We want you to learn more Bible. We want you to become literate. Biblically, we want you to understand evangelism tactics and how to answer questions. That's a lifelong process. People ask questions I don't know the answer to. There was a time in my life when I was afraid I wouldn't know the answer. Now, I willingly admit, I don't have a clue about the answer, and I'm okay with that, right? I don't know. Here's what I do know. This is what the angel said. They didn't wait till they learned enough verses or enough theology or an evangelism class, although we should do all those. What did they do? As soon as they found Jesus, they just went out, and all they said was, man, they didn't, you know, go through the book of Romans. It wasn't even written yet, right? What did they do? I found Jesus. All I can tell you is he changed my life. And they had joy about it. They went out with haste and they went out with joy. And in our world today, if you go out and you're happy and you're joyful, and man, you go out and you're urgent and you're happy and joyful, that gets people's attention. What's he happy about? I mean, our world's a sad place. What's he happy about? What's he hopeful about? You just go out and you got hope and joy in our world, and man, it makes all the difference in the world, right? And so that's exactly what the angels did. And so Revere, think about Paul Revere. Go back to Paul Revere. When Paul Revere was riding through those towns, when he was saying, the British are coming, he had to get it out that night. He couldn't wait. See, there's an urgency in this passage. You see today so many times in Scripture. Today, the Scripture has been fulfilled in your place. Today is over and over in Scripture. Today is the day of your salvation. Today, this is a message that needs to be heard today. Paul Revere rode through town, and he knew people need to hear that today. Why? Because their lives were at stake. If they don't hear this today, their lives are at stake. But they could hear it and just say, eh, whatever, I'll think about that tomorrow and investigate tomorrow. They had to receive it and believe the message today. And then when they believed it, they probably, you know, they didn't have AT&T and Verizon. They couldn't get on the phone. Hey, did you hear what Paul Revere said? Man, I'm sure they went through town getting a message out, sharing it because people's lives were at stake. That's exactly what needs to happen with the church today. This is a message where people's lives are at stake. I'm not talking about their physical life. All of our physical lives are going to come to an end. All of our hearts are going to stop beating one day. Blood's no longer going to pump in our veins, and we're going to go in the ground. That's going to happen one day. So it's not our physical lives, but when that happens, you're going to spend all of eternity in one of two places, a real place called heaven or a real place called hell. And after your heart stops beating, no matter what, you can't change your reservation at that moment. You know, you can't upgrade. You can't move out of that hotel to another hotel. You can't. It's settled and it's finished. The only opportunity you have is right now, today. This needs to be believed today. And if you're a believer, this needs to be shared today because people's eternal lives are at stake. So will you share this? Maybe you need to believe it. Maybe you need to hear it again. Maybe you need to share it. You know, this is a crazy time of year for me because, as I said earlier, I love getting gifts. I hate buying them like you. Stressful, especially when you got like 7 kids and 3 grandkids and 2 daughters-in-law. I mean, like my presents I got to buy is crazy. And so, but although I hate buying them, I love getting them. But you know what? I love giving them. You know, there's something, I love giving the gifts. I love seeing people's face. I love giving them. So one of the hardest things for me today is to keep this thing a secret. I get somebody a gift, I want to give it to them. You know, I get somebody a gift, I want to tell you what it is. Let me give you this. I want to tell you what it is. Come on, let me give it to you now. Let's get, you know, I want to do, and that's what the shepherds did. They couldn't keep this thing a secret. It was too good. It's too good to keep down. And if you know Jesus, he's too good to keep down. So today, if you don't know him, hopefully you've heard the gospel, and it is a message that needs to be heard today. Hopefully you've heard. It's a message that needs to be received and believed today. And if you've never believed in Christ, I hope today is the day of your salvation, that you believe. And if you have believed, maybe it's a time that you needed to hear this again to remind you of the goodness and grace of God, but also to motivate you to understand in the shepherds, not only do you find life, but you live sent in the world, and it's time to go share this message in your circles of influence. One of the greatest places to start, or most urgent or most immediate places that you can do that, is invite somebody to come with you at Christmas Eve to our Christmas Eve services. People are open. If they're in town, they're open at this time of year to say, yes, we'd like to come to that. So that's one of the immediate applications. It's also an immediate application when you see Christmas to remind everybody what this Christmas is all about. So today, as we see these angels and their announcement to the shepherds, I hope it motivates you. Some of you, I hope you begin to see Jesus for who he is. And when you do, like the shepherds, you respond as the shepherds. You believe today. You hear today, you believe today. And then all of you who are believers, I hope you share today. Okay, I'm going to pray, and Benji and our band's going to come back out, and they're going to lead us in another song. And so let's pray together, and you respond how God has led you to respond. Father, we love you. We thank you for Christmas. God, it's literally the most special time of year. God, we are, Lord, joyful, but God, I know this is also a stressful time because of the money we have to spend. I know it's a stressful time for many of us because there's loved ones that's lost, you know, even talking between services to folks that this is their first Christmas without maybe their husband or their wife or their mom or their dad. God, that's painful. God, help us, and I'm grateful for all of those memories, and God, I know that we can fixate on the memories. We can also say, man, we can continue to make those memories with the people that are in our lives and use this as a time and leverage it for the glory of God. And I pray that you would bring healing to people who have lost loved ones, which is so terrible, Lord. I know that firsthand. I pray that you would bring healing. I pray that you would de-stress us. And Lord, I know that the way we do that is by focusing on you, the substance, rather than the shadows of Christmas. I pray that we would do that. I pray that today, like the shepherds, people have heard the gospel. I pray that today, like the shepherds, people would respond and believe. And I pray, like the shepherds, people would go share. It's a war cry. It's a message that's too great to be kept. I pray that we would give it away, that we would share it continually, not just in this season, but every season, not just in this day, but every day of the year. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that I don't have to look at somebody else to get my worth and my value and compare myself and be better than anyone else. Thank you that only comes in you. And God, I pray that today many people, that their self-esteem, their value, their self-worth would skyrocket because they know that they're loved by the God of the universe so much that he put on skin and come to live on this planet, that you were forsaken so that we wouldn't have to be, that you suffered so that we wouldn't have to suffer, that you were homeless so that we wouldn't have to be, that you stepped away from your Father, the Father, so that we could be united to the Father. Thank you, Lord. We love you and we praise you, and thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's all stand.